The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We as Christians, we see things that a little differently, perhaps, than most of the people in the world see them. The things that we see are balanced, hopefully, with the proof and the understanding that God is going to bring a time of great joy and great peace to the world. But, you know, you and I are here today, and we're living among brothers and sisters in Christ who, frankly, have fantastic benefits that we share with one another. And one of those benefits is, as we learn in our lives, to be more godlike. Our Father is certainly an incredible being. What we know of him, what he has revealed to us, amazing for us to understand. You know, but the thing is, and as we get deeper and deeper and deeper into the study of the Bible, as we learn God's ways, we learn them on two levels. First, as a physical level, and then as a spiritual level. Sometimes we may see things that you've read a scripture maybe 50 times in your life, and you read it, and suddenly a little light comes on, and we see a little different understanding that comes to the fore. You know, the prophet Isaiah had to say this about the manner in which God deals with his people and with the wicked. In Isaiah 11, verses 4 and 5, he says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor." And of course, we know that there are two kinds of poor. There are poor in spirit, and there's poor in financial terms. And both need to be judged by God differently because of the situations. But it goes on to say, "And reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." In verse 5, he goes on to say, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." When God deals with human beings, when he deals with the world, he deals as a very faithful God. He promises us certain things if we obey him, and he's faithful to do the things that he promises. God wraps himself in righteousness, it says. What is God's righteousness? Is that something that you and I can aspire to? In Psalm 119, verse 172, the psalmist says, "My tongue shall speak of your word." And don't we do that on a regular basis, brethren? Not only when we're together, but when we're with our family, and when we're with people in the world, we speak of God's word. And that's a good thing to do, because you never know when somebody's mind will be open to a word of truth. He says, but to answer the question about what is God's righteousness, he says, "For all your commandments are righteous." They're all righteousness. Every command that God gives is righteousness, because it helps us. I could use the analogy of a very intricate lock with many, many combinations to it. And yet, somebody who knows the combination can get in and get it very easily, very quickly. But when God deals with man, he's had to put things at a level that we can grow in his grace and in knowledge. The word of God and the law of God, they define his righteousness. And it's our responsibility, if we rise to the challenge, is to learn God's righteousness. They help to keep us on the right track. And these are things that we should relate to the faithfulness of God. You see, God deals even-handedly with the righteous and with the unrighteous. He's fair to all. But you see, he's faithful to all who keep his commandments. God deals even-handedly, and he has given notice to all mankind who will read it and who will hear the word, that he is a fair and an even-handed God. He's faithful. He's full of faithfulness to his people who obey him. He gives mankind notice through the scriptures that he is faithful to his word. And that's something that we can take great comfort in. In 2 Timothy 2:19, he states clearly, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure." And that's something that's good to know, that God, the solid rock, is there for us to stand on. He's there for us to lean on when we need him. And he needs him to carry us when we need that as well. You see, the Lord knows, it says, them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or depart from sin, to leave sin behind us. Now, today I'd like to look at the way in which God deals with his faithful children. Now, being faithful to God doesn't mean, and I don't intend for us to imply, that it means that we always do the right thing. Because we don't. We're human. We're weak. We have strengths. We have weaknesses. But to be a true Christian, you have to want to do the right thing. And you have to try to do the right thing. And sometimes that's a little more difficult to do. See, we keep God's word tucked in our heart and we spread it among our friends. But we're not the kind of people that go around blabbing to people who have no interest in God. We might throw a little crumb in front of them to hope that they pick it up and want more. But God is faithful to us, brethren, and he's faithful to the world. If we're faithful stewards, we should show ourselves faithful to one another. And I think we do that in this congregation. And many of the congregations of God, there is a faithfulness to one another. Because faithfulness to one another is important. It's an important first step in our faithfulness to God. Hebrews 11, verse 1, a book of great understanding for mankind, if they would grasp it. He says, "Now faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen." And faith is what allows us to believe that God is faithful and that he has great promises for his children. You see, when God gives his healing blessings, do we have our faith strengthened? Does that strengthen us? Well, it sure does, doesn't it? When you go to God and you need a healing and you call on God's promises and he heals, it strengthens us. But how about if he delays his healing? Suppose, you know, I like to use the example that he's taller than we are, and he can see over the mountains, and he can see over the hills, and he can see over the clutter in our lives, and he sees that there are certain things that we need to learn. He's faithful to us to teach us the things that we need to know. But I ask this question, and we have seen so many healings in our lives, and in the Church of God in particular. What do we do when he heals? You know, well, there's a good example in the scriptures and Jesus of Nazareth. He encouraged us to return to God with thanksgiving. And Luke 17, verse 12, tells a story about the 10 lepers. 10 lepers that came to Jesus for healing. And what happened? He said, go your way, be healed. And they did. They left. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. Let him see that. And the healing of leprosy was something that was very rare. And one of the 10 lepers saw that he had been healed. And he came back and thanked the Lord. Thanked him for the healing. Thanked him for the goodness that he had done to him. And do we do that enough? Do we thank God when he gives healing and when he gives blessings to us? You see, he's faithful to answer our prayers. But it's a good idea to be thankful when he does. Even when he doesn't do it the way we want him to do it. And very often God will give us a blessing, and he will give us a healing, and he will give us what we ask for, but differently, in a manner that isn't exactly the way we would have done it. You see, if we have faith, we know that God always lives up to his promise. And the faithfulness of God is something that we cannot ever take for granted. If we have faith, we know that God always lives up to his promises. Do we believe that? I hope we do. We should, because his promises are to us and to our children, to our children's children, and right on down the line, through thick and thin, he is with us. The human brain has a tendency to accept as true the things it sees with its eyes. And that's one of the reasons why so many kids get in trouble with YouTube and the fake news that's out there. But when we're dealing with God, we need to accept the things that he shows us. And then we need to prove God. Not to test him, but to prove him. Say, okay, God, you told me that this is what you want, and I'm doing it. Show me that I'm doing it correctly. That's a challenge, isn't it? That is a challenge. Because when we ask for something good, he's faithful to give it. But sometimes he gives us a lesson to go along with it that kind of, like, it's like wearing a pair of tight shoes. You know, suddenly the things start to hurt a little bit, because suddenly we're realizing that his faithfulness is not only giving, but it's also corrective. He allows us to go on and to grow in his knowledge, the knowledge of him. 2 Corinthians verse 4. It shows that you know, we have a tendency to accept the things that we see with our eyes, but society is manipulated. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you look at things that are not seen? Did you ever think about that? We do it through our faith. We do it through the faith that we have that God is faithful. And if we don't believe that God is faithful, then we have serious problems to work with in our own respect. He says, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Yeah, this is temporal. The things which are not seen, what are they? They are eternal. They are the everlasting, ever-living truth that God has for his family. You see, we can be generous in our actions, but are we generous with our interactions? Are we generous with one another? In 2 Corinthians, continuing in chapter 5, verse 7, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's difficult to do in a world that is a godless world, in a nation that is a godless nation. See, God remains faithful to his calling. He never wavers. But the great wisdom of the Father is to allow his children to have the free will to make our own choices. not to become like mindless robots. And he could do that. I mean, look at the lower vertebrates. Look at the regular animal. Look at the animal kingdom. They get to do whatever they please, but it's programmed into them what they should be doing. You and I are different. He gives us the opportunity to serve him, but to do it willingly. He wants us to become like our older brother, Jesus of Nazareth. Let's look at John 6:44. And this tells us very clearly why we come to Christ in faith. He says, "No man can come to me," in verse 44, "except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you believe Jesus is faithful? He's learned from his Father. His Father is faithful. And Jesus is faithful. He has been faithful, and he will be faithful in the future. He says in verse 45, "As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes unto me." And at that time, it was the way that God was working with the nation of Israel. But you see, you and I today, we're dealing with a tiny, little bit different subject. There are millions of people, billions of people, who consider themselves Christian, who believe they know God, who believe they know the Father, and they believe they don't have to do anything he says, I'm sorry to say. And the difference there, hopefully, is that we believe in God, we believe in the Father, and we believe that we should be obedient children because he has so much more for us that the world can't even imagine. God doesn't reject us when we fall, as long as we get back up. If we get back up, he's there to pat us on the hinder and get us going again, to get us moving again, because life is filled with these difficulties that arise that cause us to fall back and say, I messed up. He doesn't reject us. Do you know someone in the church, perhaps, someone in the church of God, in again, out again, in again, out again? They come and they don't come. They you know, as time goes on, we'll see more and more people coming back who were, through their perhaps no fault of their own or through their own fault, gave up on the truth. They gave up on the way that God wanted them to be living. Well, you and I, hopefully, are not tempted to leave the truth of God. I mean, we're all tempted. We all get tempted. But God doesn't tempt us to make us fall. God tempts us, allows us to be tempted so that we can grow, so that we can become more like him, we can become more Christ-like. He says, continue in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful," there's that word again, "who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it." A God who loves us so, that gives us a way out of our trials, out of our temptations, if we go to him and ask for them. On a carnal, physical level, it makes sense to be alert to problems that are on the horizon. But when the trouble seems to pass, what happens? Oh, well, you know, kind of sit back and take it easy and wait for the next trial or trouble to come. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us being on the alert all the time. He wants us to be ready to deal with the trials and tribulations of Satan, the devil. Our God is always faithful. He never fails us. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 47. Jesus gives this warning to his disciples. They wanted to know, "Lord, you know, what are going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And he goes through a litany of things that are going to occur. And then he says in verse 42, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come." And we've had people that we've known over the years, "Oh yeah, Christ is coming at this point, that point, that point." That. And you know, it gets frustrating when we see that we never seem to learn. We're always looking for that next turn of the calendar page, that Christ is coming back, that all these things are going to come and occur in the near future. Well, you know, they might. They really might. And I'm not a prophet. I don't intend to be. But I see things on the horizon that I didn't think were possible 30 years ago, 40 years, 50 years ago. And not only are they possible, they're on our daily TV, you know. I can remember when I was a boy, and yes, I was a boy at one time. We were one of the first on our street in Philadelphia to get a television set. Okay. And it was 10 inches screen. 10 inches. Today, many of the smartphones are bigger than that. Things have changed, and we have to adjust with the change. And I don't want to go back to a 10-inch television screen with the three channels we used to get. But, you know, we if we have the Spirit of God in us, and I believe we have, then God's Spirit will guide us to make the right choices and the right decisions as we go along. In verse 43 of Matthew 24, he says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." And brethren, we need to be alert. We need to be watching because God is faithful. And we need to be faithful to him. We need to be faithful to what he's told us to do through Jesus of Nazareth and through the apostles. He says, "Therefore be ready." Are we ready? God's faithful. Are we faithful? Verse 45, he says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant?" A wise servant, a faithful servant. That's what we need to be, brethren. "Who is Lord, has made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season." The world has difficult times ahead of it, brethren. And those of us who manage to live to it and through it, great. But we have opportunities right now, today, and tomorrow to learn faithfulness that God has for us. He says, "Blessed is that servant whom when the Lord comes, when he comes, shall find so doing. Truly I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." What goods does God have? Look at Hubble. Look at the pictures that Hubble has sent back. You want to see what God has? You want to see the goods that he wants to put his church and his people over? That's a good place to start. But you see, our adversary is looking for ways to distract us. The vision of God and his kingdom is something that we should never let slip out of our minds. And it's tough to do in this world. It's not easy. If it was easy, the reward wouldn't be that great. When Satan attacks God's people, he just doesn't normally attack head on. He works around the edges. And he weakens the fabric of our resistance. And as we get closer and closer to the heart of our problem, that's when he attacks. That's when he's ready to pounce. And we need to be faithful to God, knowing that he's going to protect us from our own foolishness sometimes and from the wiles of Satan. Look at Luke 16. Luke 16, verses 10 and 11. He says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least shall be unjust also in much. That's verse 10. Verse 11, he says, if, therefore, you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? Money, gold, silver, store it in your garage or in your basement or wherever. It's not going to save us, brethren. The true riches come when we get beyond that, when we get beyond the physical. You see, the adversary is going to work against us in the small things. And every time I see the ads on TV about stocking up on gold and silver, I say, wait a minute. There's a prophecy that says that in the end time, men are going to throw their silver and gold in the streets. Now, do I want to be a throwee or a recipient? That's the question. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves from the trials that are ahead. Only God is able to do that. And you see, God who has called us, he's faithful to supply all our needs. We sometimes see our needs differently from the way God sees them. Have you ever seen that in your life? God, I really need this. I really need that. And he sends you something different, a different kind of blessing. Why do you do that? I'm reminded of the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Has everybody heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Everybody knows who she is? Oh, good. A new crowd, a young crowd. All right. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch prisoner of the Nazis during World War II. Her name was Corrie Tenenbaum. And they called her Corrie Ten Boom to de-Jewishize her, I guess. And they put her in a prison cell where all the German guards would come in at night and ravage the women, rape them. And she prayed, God, protect me from these men. Protect me so that I can serve you. And guess what God did? He gave her fleas. Fleas! Now, who would have ever said, God, give me fleas? No. We knew what we wanted. God knew what we needed, and he gave us what would take to provide that. She gave up, in some respect, knowing that God was there, he was with her, and she lost her fear of the Germans. And she was saved from the constant rapes that went on in there. They don't go near her. She's got fleas. Now, I've never had fleas. But, you know, in a situation like that, I think I can appreciate what God did for her. If anybody here has ever had fleas, my dad used to have a job where he was in and out of people's homes on a frequent basis. And he would come home and he would have fleas. And he would have to take his clothes off outside the house. Couldn't bring them inside the house. Because fleas, I guess they bite a little bit. But he never brought any in the house. I'm thankful for that. But you see, the God who we worship is a God of love and a God of respect. He respects his children who honor him. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 22 through 24. He says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray to God, I put that in parentheses, that our whole spirit, our soul, our body, held blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful as God is faithful and as Christ was faithful, knowing that things might not work out exactly the way we wanted them. We may not get an angel with a sword at the door, we may get fleas. But God is going to protect his children because he loves his children. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 and 4, he says, but the Lord, did I say 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 and 4. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Verse 4, he says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you or touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you or that we instruct you to do. And Paul was a great teacher, as you know. God used him to teach among the Gentiles and among the scattered nations of Israel. He used Paul in ways that we're just coming in some respects to understand. He says in 2 Thessalonians, well, we've read that. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13 and 14. He says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We've never been tested or tried or tempted beyond what's common among people of today. But God is faithful. There's that word again. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Above that you are able and willing to fight, to continue to fight. He says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14, he says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee. Oh, there's those fleas again. Flee from idolatry. In verses 15 and 16, he gives some examples of that. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And, you know, when did this occur? This occurred on the Passover night. So what do they do in the churches of the Christian churches today? They eliminate the Passover from their annual celebration of the life of Jesus. And what do? They take communion every day. They call it communion. But brethren, you and I know that Christ is faithful. You can't be in the church more than a year, or maybe even not in the church yet. You can see God's faithfulness in your life. God is always willing to give beyond our ability to receive. He's willing to, but he doesn't. He gives us what we can handle. In Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 9. Hebrews is getting a real workout today, isn't it? That's all right. I'm working on a whole sermon on the book. It might going to turn into two or three Bible studies. But he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, verse 3, how shall we escape? How shall we get away with something if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Those that heard Christ knew that tough times were coming, but he knew that God was faithful. In verse 4, he said, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. You see, it's the will of God that we need to appeal to if we are to be faithful to him. He's faithful to us. And when Christ gave what's called the Lord's Prayer, he said, thy will be done. His will, be done. We know, if we read the scriptures, God has a will for us, a will for the resurrection of the dead, a will to be spirit beings dealing with humans, dealing with many different facets of the creation. Which it's not my intention to go into that today. But the point is that if we believe and trust God, if we are faithful to Him as He is to us, we're going to have these things. We're going to be able to grasp these things. You see, God is absolutely faithful to His children. And we need to be towards Him. God records, back in the book of Genesis, a scripture that most theologians ho-hum. But in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God laid out His plan for His human family. He says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. He was putting man in charge. He was giving man the responsibility for caring for them. It says in verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them. Created He him. Male and female created He them. The creation by God to make man like Him, to be in His image, to be in His likeness, is something that much of the world either doesn't want to know or can't understand because they don't have the understanding. And God is faithful to them. You know, we know that He's faithful to the church, but He's faithful to the people of the world. He doesn't hold against them things that they don't understand. Isn't that a great comforting thought as we deal with a world that's really gone reprobate? You see, God made man for a specific purpose. He's in the original Hebrew, where He says, like us, let's make man in our image. It could also be translated like us, like a shadow of us, a model of us. And this is, if you've ever made models, you want to make a model that looks like the picture on the box. Right. Well, we don't have a picture of God. Or do we? Sure we do. His word draws a fantastic panoramic view of the great God of the universe and what His plans are for His family. And we can have some of that. And eventually we can have all of that if we stay close to our calling, if we keep our minds and our hearts set on the Word of God and remember that He is always faithful. As David said in Psalm 36, verses 5 and 6, he says, oh, Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Your faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. David couldn't see beyond the clouds. He wasn't given the vision of the heavens, of the planets, of any of those things. He was a very physical guy, a very physical world, doing very physical things, but learning spiritual lessons. And fortunately for us, many of the spiritual lessons that he learned are written down and recorded for us to learn as he learned. He says in verse 6, Your righteousness, again, still talking to the Lord, is like the great mountains. Your judgment are a great deep. O Lord, You preserve man and beast. God has nothing but good things for His family, nothing but good things for His creation. But we have to be ready and willing to come to Him and accept what He says. Back in Psalm 119, verse 90, just one verse there. He says, Your faithfulness is unto all generations. What does that mean? All generations. He was talking to old Jewish guys when he wrote that. I asked a rhetorical question. Could we be descendants of some of those people that he was talking to 1,000 generations? Well, I suspect that there's a very good chance that that is so. Because David was inspired to write this for his brethren. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, he makes this statement. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Having fellowship with the God of the universe, with the Creator of the universe, that we are called to be a part of his great plan. Does that humble you? Well, I think it might, especially if we realize that God's faithfulness, he's going to carry it out. He's going to bring it to the fore. He says, to 1,000 generations. How many of us are here because of great faith, God's faithfulness to some of our ancestors? I don't know the answer, but I think that someday we may find out. You know, we're not here by accident, brethren. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, he says, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. How long is a generation? 1,000 of those, and God is still keeping his covenant because he's a God of faithfulness. You see, the scripture is speaking of he's not talking about a predestination. I'm not saying that at all. He's talking about people who were obedient to him down through the ages. Their successors are still with us today. God can save and care for those who we think are, you know, beyond help. But he loves us all, brother. He's faithful to his creation. And there are so many biblical examples of God's faithfulness to his human family. We could stay here for another hour if we read every biblical example. Oh, we got another hour. No, not really. But you see, that's a good challenge for you as we go forward to the day of Pentecost, as you go forward in the Feast of Weeks, as we reach into our deepest, innermost being, study these words of God's faithfulness. Just do a word search if you have a concordance, and look up all the places where God has promised to be faithful to his human family. And you should be able to get through another, 35 days? Brethren, it's been a pleasure to be here with you all and to enjoy the great blessings that God has given us. Let's keep marching straight ahead to the kingdom, to the great blessings that God has for his children.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.